Welcome to Story 49 on KNOM Radio. Story 49 is a monthly show that features stories from people who live in Alaska. I'm Emily Bennick. This month, I'm very pleased to have Elizabeth Medicine Crow on the program. Liz is Tlingit and Haida from Cake, Alaska. She graduated from Juneau Douglas High School and went on to get her BA from Fort Lewis College in Durango, Colorado, and her JD from Arizona State University College of Law. In 2012, Liz was named president and CEO of the First Alaskans Institute. Elizabeth's role model and mentor was her grandmother on her Haida side. Throughout her youth and young adulthood, Liz could always turn to her grandmother for guidance and advice. In her very spare free time, Liz is writing her grandmother's life story. While Liz was in Nome to present at the Quirag Regional Conference in April of 2014, she sat down with me in the Nome Rec Center to speak about how her grandmother inspired her to keep pursuing her dreams, even when those dreams seemed too difficult to reach.
Uvanga Ataga, Liz Medicine Crow. My name is Liz Medicine Crow. I'm Tlingit and Haida. I'm from Kihkwan, Cake, Alaska, in southeast Alaska. We're about 90 miles south of Juneau, 90 miles north of Ketchikan. So it kind of makes us the center of the area. Of course, being from there, I can say that, and I think everybody feels that way about their homes. On my Tlingit side, I'm Raven Kutch Uddi, freshwater mark sockeye salmon. On my eagle side, on my Haida side, I'm an eagle hummingbird of the Chichkitne people from Haida Gwaii. And I was thinking about what story I wanted to share with you folks. And one of my favorite stories that I actually think about a lot, and whenever I feel like giving up on something, I always think about the story. I was going to college after I graduated from high school. I went to college on the East Coast. It's a long way away from Cake, Alaska. And in my sophomore year, I was really homesick. I was homesick for the food, I was homesick for my family, I was homesick for our dancing and our singing and our drumming. I was homesick for all of the activities that keep us busy, for the table conversations, the meals, the support that we give each other through the hard times. Being on the East Coast in college, when someone at home in our villages would pass away, it really hurt. Because when I'm at home and that happens, I have a role. You know, by clan, I have a role. We know how we support each other and what we're supposed to do, but when you're just all on your own out in the middle of nowhere, USA, it was hard for me to understand how to bring the practices of our people from my village into where I was at, physically present at the time. That compounded the homesickness. And at the beginning of my sophomore year, it was just really intense, that feeling I wanted to give up. And I thought that the person who would probably most understand this feeling would be my nani, my grandma, my mother's mother, my grandma Mona. And so I called her, and she picked up the phone, and she said, "Oh, I was just praying for you. I was just thinking about you all the way out there and thinking about how that feels." Because my gram was sent to college on the East Coast in 1935 after she graduated from high school at Sheldon Jackson College. And she had actually wanted to be a nurse. She thought she was going to go to nursing school with some friends. They were supposed to go to Arizona, if I remember correctly. But her stepfather and her superintendent from the school had her come and talk to them after graduation, and they said, Mona, you're going to go to Asheville Normal Teachers College in North Carolina. And she said, okay. And when my gram told me that story, I was like, what? I said, didn't that make you mad? That they would just tell you what you had to do with your life? And she looked at me and kind of raised her eyebrow, and she said, why would I be mad? They knew what was best for me. And it just speaks so much volumes about that in that generational experience and the way that we approach things. So in 1935, she was sent to Asheville, and she was telling me the story about how she had to stay in North Carolina for 4 years straight, not being able to come home for Christmas or summer vacation, that she had to stay out there the whole time because it was such a long, expensive journey back. And so she would work in the kitchen of the college, and when the teachers were finishing their school year, and then she would go to the home of one of her friends and stay there until school started again. And during that time, you know, she lost lots of family members, and things were happening at home that she wasn't a part of, and she was incredibly homesick. The other thing that she really missed and really longed for was her language, being able to speak her first language, Haida. And she said the only way she was able to hang on to her language was to speak to her mother in her head. In her mind, she spoke Haida to her mother to keep it alive and to keep her strong when she was out there all by herself. So my nani was telling me this story. I was listening on the phone. She said, and that's why I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud that you're out there sticking it out. I know how hard that can be. And she said, so what's going on with you? How come you called? I said, nothing. Just wanted to say hi. I couldn't tell her. I couldn't tell her that I wanted to drop out. And that helped me not drop out. At that time, it was, you know, it was like she knew exactly what I needed to hear. And one of the things that I think about now when I get frustrated or I feel like I'm not accomplishing something or I feel like I want to quit or give up, I think, is it, I'm trying to remember the Inupiaq word my friends say, give it or something like that, quit. I can't remember what it is, but I think about that, and I think about how much she sacrificed and how hard that was for her, and that it would have been easy for her to give up and leave and not come back, but instead she stuck it out, not because it was about her, but it was because about her family and her people and what they envisioned for her. And when she graduated college in 1939, she had the choice to go up north in Alaska and teach, or to go to Cake, which was a Tlingit village. And she knew people from Cake because of her time at Sheldon Jackson. So she chose to go to Cake, and she was a teacher there until she retired. So that's my buck up, toughen up, throw your shoulders back, and be strong, because somebody was there before you. And they were able to make it through. So that's what helps me get through those moments when I just want to give up. It was my nani, and it was her experience.
You're listening to Story 49 on KNOM Radio. This month's featured guest is Elizabeth Medicine Crow of Cake, Alaska. Liz was very close to her grandmother and is writing her grandmother's life story during her free time. Sometimes, though, even the closest relatives can miscommunicate.
Oh man, oh God, it took me 10 years to get my first degree. I stepped in and out of college, traveled around the country, had all kinds of amazing experiences. I would go to school for a semester and then I would go back home to my village and help take care of my nan as her health wasn't that great as she started to get older and advance in years. Our family really came together to help support her, in particular my Auntie Cheryl. And I was able to come home here and there throughout my undergraduate career to spend time with her and take care of her. And I feel really blessed because my grandma also asked me to record her life story during those times. So I was able to listen to her stories sometimes over and over again, which was really good because that's how you learn things. You know, as oral historians, as oral people, as oral cultures, you know, you hear things. And each time you hear them, you hear something new. And every time she told me the same story, I was understanding another new thing or a different viewpoint. And I wouldn't have had that opportunity if I didn't take the time. And if she didn't take the time with me. There were some funny things, you know, the generational stuff that happens. So funny. I remember one time she was telling me a story and we're sitting around the table having coffee and I had this real cheap little cassette recorder and it did not do well, but it worked, which is what we had. So that's what we used. And she was really telling me the story, and she paused, you know, and I noticed this with other Native peoples too, so it's not just a Tlingit or a Haida thing, but and maybe it's an Indigenous peoples thing, is that the timing of our speech is much different than other cultures. So sometimes our pauses aren't just for a moment, they're sometimes, you know, for long moments. And then sometimes a pause is actually a stop. And so part of the cultural thing is understanding when those things happen so that you're not talking over people or interrupting them and stuff like that. Well, it also happens generationally. And I was sitting around the table with her and she was really telling me this good story and I was really listening to her and she just paused. And she paused. And she paused. And for a second, I was like, is she sleeping? Like, because she was kind of looking down and looking like at her coffee cup. And I was like, maybe she just forgot where she was. And this is all my internal dialogue. So I waited, you know, being respectful, waited a few more beats. And she continued to not speak. And so I said, Nan, you were just saying, and before I could even, like, really, you know, remind her, she said, you don't interrupt your elders when they're speaking. You interrupted my train of thought. I was like, oh, you know, that moment of, like, guilt and shame when you get scolded. It's like, oh. Sorry, Nani. Go ahead. So then she finished her story. Well, probably, I don't know, maybe it was 2 weeks, maybe it was a month later, and we were sitting around a table again having coffee and recording. And she was telling me a real good story again. I was really listening to her. You know when you're really listening and you have your face on your hand and you're leaning in and the light was beautiful. It was just her and I. It was just a beautiful day. And she was really talking. And then she hit the pause. And so I sat there, didn't think anything of it. And she paused. And she kept pausing. And so I thought, I'll just wait. So I sat there and I waited. And I'm telling you, it wasn't just a few minutes. It was a little while. And I finally said, "Nan." "Nani." "You fell asleep." And she woke up. And she started laughing real hard. She said, "You're not supposed to let me just go on and on like that. You're supposed to be interviewing me and asking me questions." She was so precious, though, you know, and she was teaching me what I needed to learn, but it was also really funny. And then even better is that she knew how to laugh at herself. I mean, she just had she was really witty, and she had a great sense of humor, and she always made everybody feel a part of what was happening. And she, even though she would scold when she needed to, she also lifted up. And I would never replace any of those moments that I had with her. And I think that everybody should have a Nani like I had.
Thank you to Elizabeth Medicine Crow of Cake, Alaska, for sharing her memories of her grandmother. Liz continues to serve as president and CEO of the First Alaskans Institute in Anchorage and continues to write her grandmother's biography. Story 49 is a production of KNOM Radio Mission. The music for this episode was provided by Steve Gunn, Jazar, Waylon Thornton, and Mystery Mammal. Thanks for joining us today. If you would like to participate in Story 49, please call KNOM at 907-443-5221 or email story49@knom.org. Story 49, sharing your voice, your story, your Alaska.